One night, as a young family were on their knees in family prayer, the 8-year-old son said, "Does Heavenly Father really love me?" The father assured him, "Yes, he does. Pray to him from your heart." The children had been taught to pray privately, but also to pray as a family. "Does he really love me?" "Yes." "No matter what I do?" "Yes, son, he loves you all of the time. If you ever do naughty things, he even loves you then. But he wants you to change and do good things." As the parents rose to leave the bedroom, the little boy started to cry and said, "Oh, Mommy, can we have a talk?" "Yes, son." So they went into the other room, and for about an hour and a half they visited together. And he began to open up and tell his mother about what was happening in his life. For about 3 or 4 days prior to this little visit, the young boy was having all kinds of problems in the home. He would take out his hostilities on his little brothers and sisters. He would shout. He would wake up angry in the morning, very disturbed, and would disturb the entire family. His parents could not understand all of this. But during the talk, he said, "Mommy, I'm doing something naughty in school. Do you promise you won't tell Daddy?" "Yes, I promise, son, but maybe you'd like to tell him." "Oh, no. What is it?" He then told about a subject he was studying in class. He continued, "And as we started to get into it, the other kids were really good at it, and I wasn't. I didn't know much about it. Whenever the time came to work on this subject, I wanted to ask the teacher to help me. But everyone else knew it, and I didn't. So I felt awfully stupid. I didn't want to ask her. I was frightened to ask her. I asked her once, and she was mean toward me, and so I wasn't going to ask her again." So he then broke down. "Oh, Mommy, can I tell you this?" He had to have reassurance that what he would say would not bring about his mother's disapproval of him as a person. When he felt sufficiently assured, he said, "I'm cheating, Mommy. I'm cheating. And now I've cheated so much that the teacher thinks I'm one of the best students in the class. I just have to keep it up, or else she'll know I've been cheating." He confided in his mother the various devices he had used to cheat: looking at a book, looking at someone else's paper, and even pretending to go somewhere in the room to get some chalk or other materials while looking at some answers on the way. He had to calculate all this. He said, "I know I've been baptized. That's why I haven't even wanted to go to primary or Sunday school lately. I haven't felt good within myself. And, Mommy, that's why I haven't prayed from my heart, because I knew I was doing wrong. I don't know what to do." Soon he had sufficient courage to tell his father, and later he went to his teacher and confessed what he had been doing. There was a marked change in him after this repentance. He would wake up with peace within himself. No longer was he the great troublemaker and strife producer with his brothers and sisters. Now, if you were to tell someone that the reason this little boy was having such a problem in the home was because he was sinning, they would probably say, "Oh, get off it." The root of the problem lay in his own transgression. As long as that internal strife was there, the 8-year-old merely carried it into the lives of others. When he resolved that internal problem, he had peace within himself, and he carried that peace also into the lives of others. We had problems arise one time in our mission between the mission board and the district board. They were warring with each other. Some on the mission board felt that the district board would not cooperate and follow the program they had been given, and the district board felt that the mission board was too authoritarian, too dictatorial. There were many communication problems that went on for months. We worked on the problem for a while, but we only worked on the surface. We would often counsel, "Let us be one. If we are not one, we are not the Lord's." Then all would momentarily be inspired, but within a few days something else would creep up to confirm some earlier suspicion, and the communication problem would arise again. Whenever the storms would come, the program would fall apart again, but when the sun was shining, everything seemed fine. Problems are rooted spiritually, and they begin with me, I realized. I had to start with myself, and it was a hard, demanding experience. When I looked into my own heart, I could see that in many instances in trying to resolve this problem and to work with it, I had not communicated properly. I had not taken the time to build certain relationships that were important. My planning was not as careful or as long-ranged as it should have been. nor had I been as dedicated in my efforts to communicate respect and love to the members of the various boards. Therefore, before I went to a meeting with the boards, I asked our Father in Heaven, in the spirit of fasting and prayer, to give me the courage to look into my own heart and to acknowledge sincerely my own failings in the meeting itself. I did look, and so did they, each in his own turn. I had never had an experience quite like that. When each man looked into his own heart and saw the beam within his own eye and confessed it, he committed himself to removing it rather than focusing upon the mote in his brother's eye. And from then on, the roots were being stirred and worked upon. We were repenting, all of us. We were deeply changing, and the communication naturally became an effective, peaceful one. Much of the world's counsel and solutions to the communication problems between people and the strife in families between husbands and wives and parents and children are superficial. They are not based upon a fundamental understanding that transgression lies at the root of strife, and that the only way to work upon that root is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance, covenants made in the waters of baptism at the sacrament table and in the temple, where there are several essential covenants, each one in turn giving the power to obey the higher one. If one is obedient to a lower covenant, more light and power are given. Then comes a higher covenant until eventually a person is taught how to return to the presence of God and how to communicate with Him here and now. Jesus Christ is the way. If people try to take any other way but through Him and His holy gospel, they become thieves and robbers of their own souls. We live 24 hours a day. Could you use 1 hour or just a half an hour seeking the presence of the Savior of this world? If you really knew that 5% of your time would influence the other 90% of your time, that even your sleep would be more peaceful, more restful, and your communications would be more authentic and peaceful, particularly when the stress conditions come, if you really knew that you would be more successful in 95% of your life by being true in 5% of your life, would you neglect or superficially use that 5%? I don't think any of us would. A suggestion. Learn in a daily way to stir yourself spiritually. How? Get to know the standard works and love them. Feel the pulse of the Lord through them. Find out how He thinks and how He feels. Get to know Christ. I testify out of my own experience that if we will have that kind of an honest, prayerful, studious experience every day and covenant with the Lord to be true to Him, we will find a well of water coming up within us to replace self-doubts with the deep internal strength and anchorage. We may have to repent sometimes and confess. We may have to break our hearts, but that is the nature of the spiritual sacrifice required of us today. The deepest need in this world is to be born again, with Christ becoming the Father of the second birth. This, to me, is the spiritual root of all communication.